Thank you all for coming. By coming today, you vote yes to the things of God. You vote yes to this great plan of salvation. You vote yes to a spirit of obedience to Him. You vote yes to a desire to understand His word more deeply. And I really respect that. So thank you again for joining us. The title of our thoughts today is The Lord is Faithful. And one particular aspect of that related to the Lord's grace in our lives. I enjoyed today's manna text. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What do we need to fear? Well, if our Heavenly Father is truly in command and in control of every experience that we have in life, what need we to fear? We need not fear the future. We need not fear what man shall do to us. We need not fear the machinations of the adversary. And on that particular point, I'd like to focus today's comments. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. Those were the Apostle Paul's reassuring words to his dear son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has empowered us and brought forth His love in our hearts that we might share that same love with others, and a spirit of self-control. We often say of the adversary that he is especially active during certain seasons in our lives. I've often heard brethren say during the memorial season that it seems the adversary is really working hard on them and grinding them down. Well, brethren, I'd like to mention a few scriptures that speak of divine providence, that speak of divine grace, that speak of divine deliverance from our adversary, the devil. It starts with Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. I'd like to share that with you. I'll start reading in verse 14, and we'll read 14 through 17, John chapter 17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. What a loving legacy on Jesus' part to pray to the Heavenly Father that you and I would be kept from the evil one. This theme, I think, resonated deeply with the Apostle John. In his first general epistle, we read this from the fifth chapter. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. I'd like to read from a modern paraphrased version. It's called the Message Bible. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. But this is the way we read it in the Message Bible. We know that none of the God begotten makes a practice of sin, fatal sin. The God begotten are also the God protected. The evil one can't lay a hand on them. We know that we are held firm by God. It's only the people of the world who continue in the grip of the evil one. John further commends the brethren who are being addressed in this epistle in the second chapter of 1 John. And he writes in verses 13 and 14 of 1 John 2, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Putting all these scriptures together gives us a great sense of the empowerment that God has granted to us, and a great sense of his divine protection upon us. Jesus, on that fateful night when he was to yield up his life for mankind, prayed the Father that you don't need to take them out of the world, Father, but protect them from the evil one. And again, that theme resonated in the heart of Apostle John, so much so that we had those words that the evil one cannot touch those who are protected by God. Some translations speak of 1 John 5:18 as the one who protects us as the one, capital one, who was begotten of God. That is, our Lord Jesus himself is an active agent in fulfilling the desire of his prayer. These are strong scriptures that tell us the evil one has been, in a very real sense, overcome in our lives, and that we have gotten the victory over him. The very familiar verse in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, tells us this. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And I'm sure that in my pause there, many of you filled in the words, our faith. We know this. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And the great grace that we sung about in our opening hymn that assists us in our Christian battle. Paul addressed the power of the evil one in 2 Thessalonians 3. He had a request of the brotherhood. Beginning with verse 1 in 2 Thessalonians 3, he said, finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Did you hear that reassurance? Verse 3, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Satan is no match for our Lord. We might feel thus empowered, and rightfully so. But we're not encouraging recklessness in life in realizing that the adversary has no power over us. We do recognize that much of our protection comes from adhering to the word of God, to growing in the fruit of the Spirit, to obedience to the will of God, to humbling ourselves to God's will. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. we have the power to resist him, firm in our faith. Oh, he goes throughout the world as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But I propose on the power of the scriptures that we have just quoted, we are not victims of the adversary. We are not prey for the evil one. Resist him, firm in the faith. James adds his testimonies to Peter's. In James chapter 4, we read verses 5 through 7. Do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns earnestly over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have that power, the power of God's Spirit, to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And it is God's Spirit that dwells in us. We read there in verse 5 that our Heavenly Father yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. Brethren, our Heavenly Father longs for the outcome of the fruitage of his plan. He longs for the major part of that, which is you and me. His Spirit dwells in us, and he jealously guards it. He desires that we be faithful. He desires that we be protected. No, the adversary cannot touch us, save as the Father would permit it. And I think the scriptures are very clear that the Heavenly Father will not. But you may say, what about Job? And in reading about Job, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Well, we know that the Lord took the hedge away and permitted calamity to come upon Job. But brethren, we are not like the ancient worthy Job. We are God's children. We are, as some dear brethren have expressed it, we are the children of the King. And the King does not allow vicious enemies to persecute his children. Our situation is different. The divine omniscience, the divine presence, the divine power is with us at all times. And we know this from Psalm 139, for one. David said, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Now think about that. You hem me in behind and before and your hand on top. Brethren, we are completely surrounded by the protections that our Heavenly Father has put in place. The psalmist extols his joy of heart, saying that such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And what marvelous provisions the Heavenly Father has made for you and for me. I quote two more scriptures in closing. They are from Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 14, and Ephesians chapter 6, maybe verses 10 through 18. So Colossians first. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have been translated from the domain or kingdom of darkness, from Satan's kingdom. And by faith, we have been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And there we seek to dwell each day in our meditations and our fellowship with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. Ephesians 6:16. I'll start reading with verse 10, but it follows in much the same theme. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood merely, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints. Dear brethren, praise God, the wonder and depth of his grace in delivering us from that evil one, from the adversary, Satan. Praise God.